Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. He joins us every Monday at this time, and we appreciate that. Guy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Guy, there's a lot going on. I was reading a Wall Street Journal article, and I'm sure you read it this morning. At a pivotal moment, U.S. economic data will be a mess. Everyone's kind of looking at the storm effect of hitting major sectors of Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. A lot of folks are going to be curious about some data that's coming out this week and some right after the election.
Yeah, one of the challenges that anyone in the insurance business faces is that there's really only one market, which is a global reinsurance market. So companies write policies and then they lay off some of the risk in the global market. And unfortunately for us in New Orleans, we think that, okay, we didn't have hurricanes, so our rates should go down. The problem is if anybody has hurricanes and the damage is substantial, rates tend to go up. And this was a tough year, and it extended all through the middle of the country to a lot of areas that haven't fortified, didn't have experience with this sort of weather. And so the losses are pretty substantial, and the likelihood of declines in rates is pretty unlikely, unfortunately.
So the Fed is, they will make the open market committee meeting, I guess, is right after the election, right? And decide as to what they will do. And anticipation is at another 25 basis points. Your thoughts?
Yeah, right now the Fed is looking at a real mix of numbers. Employment is still good. So they have a dual mandate, low inflation, and at the best employment numbers they can have. So they're not seeing a rise in unemployment, at least not a serious rise, and they're still a bit nervous about persistent inflation. And so the Fed at this point is almost certainly going to do just 25 basis points, although some Fed governors have even suggested zero rate cuts and a wait-and-see attitude because, you know, we're in an interesting situation right now. If we look around the globe, China's in deep trouble. Their population's declining. Their productivity's going nowhere. They're really struggling, and they still have the overhang from their overbuilding of housing. Europe's not doing much worse, and Europe has the additional challenge of a land war in Europe. And they're really struggling to decide, okay, how do we deal with this? Do we continue to support Ukraine? Do we increase our support? Do we just throw in the towel and let Putin take another country? So European manufacturers are also stressed because their most lucrative market for luxury goods and autos is China, and that market is slowing dramatically. So companies like Volkswagen, which have never done this before, are suggesting that they'll have to close plants in Europe, and also they're asking workers for a 10% reduction in pay. So that's an odd request to your unions, and certainly wouldn't go over it well in the United States, and I don't know that it'll go over very well in Europe either.
Yeah, and this kind of comes back home, too, as we look at what's going on with Boeing. I was reading an article where Boeing's now considering getting out of the aerospace industry entirely, which creates a huge void if they decide to do so, and they're dealing with a strike.
Yeah, Boeing is really just a disaster right now. It's one of America's great companies, one of the early pioneers in aviation. They created iconic things like the 747. They were involved in the space program with NASA, also involved in defense. And right now, Boeing has a trifecta of bad news. They're losing money in their aviation business, of course, because they have a strike. They have quality problems. They have sales problems. They can't produce their 737 MAX until the strike is settled. So they're losing money in aviation. And normally you think, okay, you have two other legs of the stool. They're losing money in defense. And you think, how in the world can you lose money selling, you know, air things to the U.S. Department of Defense? Well, Boeing managed to create a number of fixed-price contracts before inflation went up dramatically. And so they're losing money on their defense business. And then the space business is even worse. It's worse because reputationally, when you strand astronauts at the space station, you become the butt of jokes on Saturday Night Live, which is never where a technology company wants to be. And their space business is now something that they're having to look at and reconsider. Do they even want to stay in that business? Elon Musk is a lot of things, and you know, some people even suggested that he's an alien. But his SpaceX has revolutionized the space business. He launched more satellites, more rockets than the rest of the world put together last year. And that trend is going to continue this year. And he just launched a giant heavy lift rocket that he was able to catch back on the landing pad. And a lot of people didn't notice that, but it's one of the most astounding achievements in aerospace ever. And Boeing is looking at that and saying, you know, we can't do that. We don't have the technology. We don't have the money to invest. Our balance sheet is a mess, and we have labor troubles. So this is a great export champion for America, and we really need Boeing to succeed, but they have a number of things they're going to have to address in order to make that happen.
Guy, this seems to have a lot of the ingredients, thinking back to the salvation of Chrysler, you know, and when the government looked at it and said, we can't afford to lose Chrysler. Can this country afford to lose Boeing?
Probably not. And I would say not probably. No, we can't. I mean, they're only two big manufacturers of airplanes. You have Airbus in Europe, and you have Boeing here in the U.S. Airbus can't create and can't make enough airplanes to satisfy the demand. And it's not something you can turn on a dime. You know, it's not easy to ramp up auto production, but compared to airplane production, it's a piece of cake. You don't have anywhere near the components. They're not anywhere near as complex. So when Lee Iacocca turned around Chrysler, you know, he created some new designs. He got some money from the government, got concessions from the unions, and was able to save the company. Boeing is in a much worse situation. Their labor relations are a disaster. And the challenge Boeing faces is the labor unions are really bitter and angry. And if you have an angry workforce, it's hard to have quality and efficiency. And so Boeing needs to restore trust with the labor unions. But the labor unions also have to recognize that there's some things that can't happen. And one is they're looking for a defined benefit pension plan, and they just can't come back to a defined benefit plan right now, because there's no major corporation doing that. It's incredibly expensive. And if that becomes a sticking point, Boeing really could be in danger of going into bankruptcy. Now, they're selling stock right now to create liquidity. But if the strike can't be resolved, they can't generate cash, and they will burn through even this new stock, and they have an awful lot of debt, which puts them in a very challenging position.
So let's talk about, if you could, the downstream implications. And I use this as an example. I was reading an article, I'm sure you read it as well, British Airways cuts back on a number of flights from different UK cities into New York, which is one of their most favored transportation routes of the Brits coming into this country, because they have a supply chain problem with one of the engine manufacturers, Rolls-Royce, for their airplanes. And when you begin to, you know, start to connect these dots, and you see what happens there, you know, loss of jobs, loss of employment, you know, it's a loss for New York City, obviously. This starts to have big implications.
Oh, it really does. You have serious implications across the country, and it affects hotels, it affects restaurants, it affects all kinds of businesses. And we really are in a situation right now. You know, in the 50s, 60s, you had more competition. You had McDonnell Douglas making airplanes. You had British companies making airplanes. You had Lockheed. Now you have two. And Airbus is financially much more stable than Boeing. And the challenge is the airlines don't want to have only one supplier, because then what happens is prices go up and flexibility goes down. So it's important for the airlines to have Boeing be a reliable and good supplier, but it's also essential that Boeing solve its problems. And, you know, you've had management issues that are just hard to fathom. For one, the one that never made sense to me was when they moved their headquarters to Chicago out of Seattle. It's like, okay, you make planes in Seattle, you make them in South Carolina. What in the world do you want to go to Chicago for? And then when they move from Chicago to Virginia, it's like, that doesn't make sense either. I mean, if you were only a defense company, moving the defense division to somewhere near Washington, D.C. makes sense. But the commercial airline division, the headquarters needs to be where you make the planes. So we've got a bad management practice that's a bit confused. You have customers that really want two viable competitors, but Boeing is literally drowning day by day, losing cash every day. And if they can't make peace with their employees, it's going to be incredibly difficult for Boeing to carry on.
So if Boeing falls out, let's talk for a brief moment about defense contracts. You have another major player. Already we have supply chain issues with our defense equipment. I got to imagine this just completely exacerbates the supply chain to the defense industry.
Oh, it does. And, you know, if you talk to people off the record, they'll tell you that any time that we do war games and we project what would happen if there were a big conflict, we run out of missiles super fast. I mean, you're shooting them up, and you're using, you know, anti-missile missiles, you know, offensive missiles, but the inventory is not there for a major conflict, and the ability to resupply is not there. Now, our hope is that whoever we end up fighting with has the same challenges, and they might right now, but in a decade, if we don't resolve the defense industry shortages, you know, we could really be in a bad situation. And losing Boeing as an aerospace and a defense contractor would be a giant deal. That would be a significant problem and a big setback.
Yeah, this it's funny. There's not a lot of people talking a lot about this, though, right? I mean, it seems as though sitting over there on the sideline, and I'm kind of curious that not a lot of hoopla about what's going on with this company.
Well, it's one of those things that we just would rather not discuss because it's unpleasant. Our defense budget this year, adjusted for inflation, is actually lower than it was last year. Now, nobody likes to spend money on a big defense budget. It's sort of like spending money on insurance and your house doesn't burn down. It's like, well, that was a wasted expenditure. But if you don't spend money on defense and you stumble into a war because your adversaries think you're weak, it's unbelievably catastrophic. And it's a difficult thing to discuss because right now we have a serious deficit and the expenditures that are necessary are also serious. And so we have a challenge, we're short of supplies, we need to beef them up, and it's going to cost real money. When, you know, we're in the middle of a presidential campaign, is a very tough discussion. Hopefully, once the election's over, we can sit down and look at the global situation and say, okay, how do we need to address this and what needs to happen to make us safer going forward?
Yeah, I don't know. This is just one of those going to be, a defining moment as to what's going to happen here. When you think about the three areas that they're in, you know, aviation and defense and aerospace, and the voids that it could potentially create. And as you said, there's no competition out there. I mean, very little. In a lot of that. And I guess that's why McDonnell Douglas and the others got out of the business and went into defense contracting more than anything else, right?
It's certainly much more dependable. You know, the airline market is a feast or famine business. The challenge for Boeing is they also are going to need to invest in a new jet to replace the 737. One of their problems is they wanted to extend the life of the 737 by putting new engines on it and using computer programming to handle the weight differential. Well, that led to the two fatal crashes, and ultimately you have to do a whole new airplane. Well, right now Boeing doesn't have the money to do a whole new airplane, and that's going to be essential coming forward. But it's also essential to have a happy workforce. So the challenge for Kelly Ortberg, who's the new CEO, is he's got to pay as much as he can to the workers, but also get the workers in a room and have them understand, folks, without some flexibility, there isn't going to be money to pay anybody. And if he can't get that done, it probably would be better to split the company into three, spin off aerospace, spin off defense, and let commercial aviation be its own business, and probably, and this, hate to say the B word, but go into bankruptcy in the commercial aviation business in order to restructure the debt and, you know, get back onto some sort of sound financial footing. But that's a tough, tough road to go, and nobody wants to see that.
Yeah. You know, the same thing. I've got some texts here about the lack of information on the Boeing deal. It's almost the same issue in this camp, what's going on right now with this campaign, about this lack of discussion or willingness to talk about the national debt. I mean, when you start adding up the plans of both of these candidates and putting a number to it, we're just adding trillion upon trillion upon trillion dollars to the national debt with almost no consequence, no conversation, no debate.
Well, the consequence is long-term rates are beginning to creep up, and the Federal Reserve doesn't control long-term rates. That's what happens when you spend money you don't have and when there's no plan in the future to bring that within control. And, I mean, fortunately for all of us, the election will be over soon, but we're now in the throwing marshmallows to the crowd moment where both parties are what more can I give away? And
yeah.
There's no discussion of, well, we really don't have the money to do that. But it's, you know, the voters want free stuff, so let's give them free stuff, and then we'll talk about it later or deal with
bargain
it once we have to.
Bargain basement days are here. We'll be right back with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll talk about home sales at a new low and what that means when we return. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some from my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, home sales at a new low. Tell us about it.
Yeah, really unfortunate news. Across the United States, sales are trending down, and we're now at the point where we have the lowest sales since 1995, and that's nationwide. And unfortunately, we're having that same trend here in New Orleans, where people are just finding that houses are unaffordable. And the challenge, if you look back to 1995, you know, the inflation-adjusted price of a new home was $227,000. Today, it's $389,000. So that's effectively a 50%, and that is inflation-adjusted. So people are just having a hard time getting the money to make the payments. And as a result, sales are considerably lower than they were 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And what we're seeing is a trend downwards for each of the last 2 years in sales. And as I say, same thing is happening here in New Orleans in this metro area, as closed sales are the lowest in a decade. and it's a big problem. Lack of inventory at a price point that buyers can afford, and the lack of ability for builders to build at a price point that buyers can afford.
Another case that has a huge trickle-down effect in the economy, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes. The people pay a lot of attention to home sales for a number of reasons. One, when you buy a home, you will never spend more money. You know, that year, you end up buying a home, and then you need furniture because your old furniture doesn't go in the new house. You need new drapes because the windows are different sizes. You need lawn equipment. You need just everything. And the cost of all those things goes through the economy into the different retailers that sell all those things, and then all the vendors, because when you move into a house, there are always some things that need to be changed. You want to make some adjustments. So it's a tremendous stimulus to the economy when you have home sales. And it's, you know, it's sort of an exciting thing, too, because, you know, a person's moving into a new house that, you know, for whatever reason, they want a new house. They might be expanding their family. One of the other challenges is usually home sales go up in the spring because you have corporate moves. There's a lot less mobility, and this creates less flexibility in the U.S. economy. So you have people that could do the work, but they don't want to move to where the work is. Some jobs can be done remotely, some can't. But for the ones that need to be done in person, it's hard to get folks to move to areas with high demand because they're reluctant to sell their house. If they have a low-rate mortgage, they feel like that they can't give that mortgage up. So a lot of these things are conspiring to create a real challenge in terms of home sales, both here in our area and nationwide.
What do we see in the short term that could potentially turn this around, if anything at all?
Well, I wish I could give you a good answer. In the short term, it's actually going to get a bit worse, and it's going to get worse for a couple of reasons. One, as we have the challenge of long interest rates going up, that will push mortgage rates up. And, you know, we got into an odd situation where we mentally thought that 3% and 4% rates were normal. The long-term average rate for a 30-year mortgage is 7.75. So we're still below that long-term average. And one of the things that happens in economies and life is what's called reversion to the mean, where you go back to the normal average. So the trend over the next decade should probably be that rates will go back to that normal average of 7.75. And obviously a higher rate means a higher monthly payment. The supply of building materials is challenged, and because of the hurricanes, it's actually going to be worse because all those houses that were damaged, all those buildings that were damaged need to be rebuilt. So there's going to be a rebuilding demand in all of the flood-stricken areas and the hurricane-affected areas, and that's going to pull workers and materials to those areas. We have a coming attraction in January. The dock worker strike was just deferred, not solved. So the issue of automation on the docks could lead to new strikes in January, and that's going to be a challenge for whoever's president in January. You know, do you step in and end the strike? Do you let it go on and slow the economy? And then earlier we talked about insurance. So all these things are pushing prices up. Now, there are ways to push prices down, and one is an aggressive move to allow smaller houses, smaller lots. And if you think back to when New Orleans was founded, you know, people built on 25 and 30-foot lots, and we think that's ridiculous mm-hmm. today, but it wasn't ridiculous when people had lower incomes and needed a place to live. So I think the idea of really taking a critical look at what we could do to increase supply is the one lever that we could pull, and that's something that can be done, you know, in any parish that wants to do it. You look at, okay, what, go to your builders and talk to them and say, okay, guys, what can we do to make it easier for you to build, and how can we help create an increase in supply, because that's the thing that pushes price down, is when you let supply go up. Until you do that, it is going to be very challenging and very difficult to get a reduction in home prices.
You know, Guy, I hear all of this information on so many different fronts about this and that and everything else, and I always come back to, and I'm kind of curious your thoughts, are we just not focused on the right things in this country anymore? Are we trying to do too much? And should we regroup and just focus on some primary things here that we know drives the economy, leads to a better life? I mean, I just get the sense that we just don't have our eye on the ball 24/7 anymore.
Well, and I think part of it is our eye is on too many balls. We've got, with all the different social media interactions, the competing distractions, people don't really focus. And, you know, politicians get involved in Twitter wars and, you know, ongoing back and forth. You know, in the old days, there was actually time off to think. And it wasn't we didn't have a 24-hour news cycle, so people could actually ponder and consider. You know, when I go to Washington, D.C., the one thing that you have in every congressional office, every Senate office, is TVs on constantly. And I think to myself, you know, it might be good if y'all turn those off and actually think about your work. Because there really isn't that much breaking news on the cable channels during the day. Just take a break, think about what needs to be done, come up with some policies that make sense in the long term, and start discussing those and implementing them. And real estate's a classic example. I mean, increasing supply is literally the only way you can reduce the cost of homes. You can't do it by mandate. You can't do it by, you know, putting price controls in. You can only do it by increasing the supply. And it's doable. I mean, we used to do that. You know, when the GIs came home from World War II, we built an awful lot of houses, and we didn't have home price inflation because the builders were able to build as many as were needed.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've got this incredible bureaucracy and everything going on, a lot of pieces and parts, and we still seem to get all upside down on some of the basic necessities and services, and just can't. It's almost like we can't get out of our own way, right? Do you ever get that sense? I mean,
there's a good example. We had an interesting illustration. We have a contractor who builds just regular convenience stores. They build the 24-hour Waffle Houses. They build Burger Kings, et cetera. And they were building a Waffle House and flew to a town in Arkansas and met with the mayor, just, you know, courtesy meeting. And mayor talked about, well, you know, where are you going to build it? Well, you know, outside of town on the strip where the other fast foods are. I said, okay. And let's get a bite to eat. They had lunch, and then the mayor said, do you mind stopping by City Hall? And contractor, you know, is from here thinking, okay, here come the delays, here come the problems. He walked into City Hall, they went to planning, and the guy hands him an envelope. He said, what's this? It's your building permit. I said, really? And the mayor said to him, well, you're building the same Waffle House that you build anywhere in America. I said, yeah. And you're building it on a strip where we have fast foods already. I said, yeah. So why do we need to spend any time on this? Of course, it's approved. We're happy to have you. You know, if you want to build more, come on down. Yeah, and this guy said, man, if I have anything else to build, this is where I want to go. And you think about it, why shouldn't it be that easy? You know, Waffle House is a Waffle House. You build them anywhere, so why not? Why not give him the building permit? You don't need to take months to look at that. And that's one of the challenges. We create bureaucracies that are self-perpetuating. And even though, you know, we always say we want to be business friendly, there aren't many places that are business friendly. There are a few, and they're growing.
Yeah. Well, it'd be one thing if we built a bureaucracy and they were actually good at what they do. But we build a bureaucracy and they don't do. That's the big problem, right? I mean, it just stands in the way of progress.
Oh, yeah, if you're doing legitimate good inspections and adding value, that's one thing. But Yeah. If it's not adding value and the answer is going to be yes anyway, just say yes right now.
Exactly. All right, got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. A lot of chatter about Starbucks struggling as well, Guy.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's interesting. It's another Seattle company. Starbucks sales are declining in the United States, declining in Europe, and also a significant decline in China. And the problem that Starbucks has created for themselves is they've added the app, and they've added some things that are that seem efficient, but are really driving away some long-term customers. The original concept of Starbucks was that you would have that third place, a place to relax, a place to meet family and friends, and you know, just an affordable luxury, something special. And what's happened is Starbucks has gone to a much different model with the with less customer interaction. You're doing an online app, so your name's not written on the cup. They've taken away the comfortable couches and replaced them with wooden chairs, added music, which in some cases is too loud, and oftentimes is deliberately loud to sort of drive people out. So it becomes an uncomfortable spot. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit ambivalent. I hate to see any company struggling, but, you know, in New Orleans, we had a coffee culture well before Starbucks was a dream. And yep. Really feel like anyone in Louisiana should try all the locals before they consider Starbucks, because, you've got Cafe Du Monde, PJ's, French Truck, you know, much better experience. The money stays here. You don't need to go to a national. And we have so many great coffee companies here that really do provide a great experience. I'm proud of not having been in a Starbucks in New Orleans in probably 5 years, and hope to keep that streak alive.
Absolutely.
But their challenge.
But let's
challenge
wanna,
is. Sure.
Guy, let me. I want to make sure, because we're running out of time, and I do want to get your opinion on this. We just finished up three successful nights of the Eras Tour with Taylor Swift. I mean, I was down there, and I'd like to get your read on the Taylor Swift effect for our local economy.
Oh, yeah. And we all need to send Taylor Swift a friendship bracelet. I've talked to our restaurant customers, our bar customers, our Uber customers, and they all knocked it out of the park. Phenomenal, phenomenal weekend. It really could not have gone better. My wife and I went to the show Sunday. My goodness, Taylor Swift is a hard worker. If we could get government workers to work as hard as she does. I mean, a three-hour show, phenomenal. But here's what's great for New Orleans. In addition to all the money that we made, all the sales tax, the national press was fabulous. And in the lead-up to the Super Bowl, this is perfect. I'm just going to quote Billboard because it was really fun. Billboard's talking about New Orleans, that there were 150,000 people in New Orleans, large crowds. But New Orleans is a city that is used to dealing with that. And New Orleans enjoys the reputation of handling large numbers of guests very successfully. And they talked about the crowds, they talked about the restaurants, and the conclusion and their statement was, fortunately, New Orleans is a city that's used to hosting massive events. Case in point, next year's Super Bowl will take place at the Superdome. Swift just sold out for three nights, so even with the Eras Tours bringing an estimated 150,000 in New Orleans, the city didn't miss a beat. I mean, what a great headline. You know, we were all nervous that perhaps there'd be an incident, but that kind of positive press, that kind of positive economic impact, we really do need to send her a friendship bracelet.
And look, I mean, this is one of those times where the city officials and everybody really came together, the business community, the operators of the Dome, ASM, and others, the LSED, and so many people coming together and pulling this thing together is absolutely huge. And making sure that they were dotting the I's and crossing the T's, as cliche as that sounds. But that's really what it's all about, right?
Oh, yeah, it's fundamental, just doing your job. And I remember the show wrapped up late, so we're walking down Poydras Street between 11:30 and midnight. Just felt very comfortable, very happy crowd, lots of excitement. And you felt totally safe. And I thought, boy, this is the way it should always be, where people are comfortable being downtown, even late at night. And with that set up for the Super Bowl, what a way to kick things off and to get great national press. So I don't know how we got her to do three shows, but, man, that sort of publicity, that sort of income is absolutely fabulous for New Orleans.
No doubt, and we'll be looking for those economic those numbers to see what the impact truly was. Everyone says it's as big as a Super Bowl almost, so, but we will see. Guy, as always, we truly appreciate your time, your insight, and have a great week. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much.
Folks, that's Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. When we come back, we'll check in with Ian Hoke, who's in for Scoot. So stay with us. Ian Hoke's in for Scoot. What do we have coming up, Scoot? I mean, Ian.
Hey. You know, I've been ensconced in my office all morning, Newell. So if you already addressed this, you know, just let me know. But the question that's on everybody's mind, did you go? Did you go to the Taylor Swift show?
I was the Uber guy for the family.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, then you got to experience it up close anyway, even if you weren't with Miss Swift. Well, we'll talk about that. You know, the time has come. The time is gone. I want to hear how people did in service industry, tourism, retail. I want to hear from dads, boyfriends, grandfathers who went to the concert. We'll get their take. We'll talk about climate change. We'll talk about Louisiana oddities and much more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.